It is our time to talk with 12th District Senator Brad Hawkins. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Good to be with you.
Always good to chat. I'd imagine you guys are shifting focus these days and getting out of kind of the 7,000 bills that get into committees and starting to narrow it down and get a little bit more focused.
Yeah, that's what happens this time of session. A lot of the bills have died off in committee, so a lot of things people are spun up and concerned about have transitioned out, and now the legislature is focused more likely on the bills that might make it through the process, at least through the Senate. We have a couple more weeks of floor action now that we've concluded most of the committee work, and we're focused on bills that will pass out of the Senate. And the House of Representatives is focused on the same thing. And then in a couple weeks, about at the halfway point in the session, we'll switch over and the Senate committees will focus on House-approved bills, and the House committees will focus on Senate-approved bills, and they'll kind of work their same way through the process in the opposite chamber. But the next couple weeks will be key for bills to make it out of the Senate.
Including several of yours. One of yours that's become a big deal and underwent some major changes is the bill that would allow school districts to explore the possibility of altering their school calendar. What changed on that bill, and how are things looking for that to work its way through and get through the Senate here in the not-too-distant future?
Well, I'm very optimistic about it. You know, I've partnered with the Democratic chair of the committee, and a lot of my Republican and Democratic colleagues initially signed on to that initial concept. We approved it out of the Senate Education Committee that I serve on. And then when we had the hearing before the Budget Committee, the Ways and Means Committee in the Senate, they recommended, well, this will help for potentially piloting a program to address learning loss and learning recovery kind of in the longer term for some school districts who choose to pursue it, but maybe we should try to look at some options to address some learning recovery in the near term for kids all across our K-12 system. So I partnered with the chair of the committee, who's my lead co-sponsor, and we came up with an amendment in the Ways and Means Committee that would broaden the bill. So in addition to that school calendar provision, it also includes multiple other sections. One, for example, would add 3 additional school days to the 180 funded school days for next school year, and maybe students could have those 3 days before the start of their normal school year to help accelerate them and catch them up. We also have a section in the bill that would fund a week-long staff-supervised opportunity at the buildings for students in the summertime. So a 1-week opportunity for students to come, be in the open gym, be on their playground supervised, reconnect with their staff, go to their cafeteria, go to their library, have some learning opportunities, but more of a physical, social, emotional sort of opportunity to reconnect with not only their peers, but the school staff as well. So that bill has broadened quite a bit, and it could become one of the more signature education policy bills this session. So I'm excited about where it's going, and hopefully we can keep it moving.
Do you think it can get in front of the Rules Committee and maybe the floor by the end of next week, by early next week?
Yeah, you know, that one, because it's broadened and ultimately has about a $300 million price tag, and the lead budget writer in the Senate added an amendment to it, because what we want to do is position this bill potentially to take advantage of some of the federal funds that are coming down the pipeline, things you've heard about with President Biden, if he is able to pass another stimulus package that has opportunities specifically for education funding, or some of the opportunities that we still have in the state budget with some of the funds that came through for education funding that haven't yet been allocated. And so how it actually fits into the budget, because it has such a potentially larger price tag, might slow the bill down, but I don't think it necessarily jeopardizes it. If the bill passes in its current form, it would likely need to be factored into the full Senate budget as part of a bill that would sort of partner with the budget as a major education piece. So I think it could come out of Rules next week, and it's not actually subject to the same cutoffs as some of the other bills, because it would be deemed necessary to implement the budget, but hopefully we could pass it out of the Senate within the next couple weeks. And as you can imagine, Kevin, with a bill of that scale moving through the budget committee, now I have a lot of stakeholders reaching out to me. Well, what can we do? Some diagnostic testing? Can we, you know, I'm working with OSPI. Can we do some of these other supporting things as well? And so I'm working with Senator Lisa Wellman out of Mercer Island, and we're trying to harness the stakeholders and come together on something that we think will be really good. And with partnering with her, I think it could be a very bipartisan effort, and it has been so far. And I think when it comes to education or wildfire or so many of these other things, that's what people want, especially after the past difficult year of divisiveness at the federal government and national politics. I think people want to see legislators working together, and that's what we're trying to do with this bill.
Speaking of budget, the transportation budget, I saw a recent update that the senator from Yakima was looking at maybe refunding that in a different way. How are things going and work on the transportation budget? And I know that my understanding is we're working on two different budgets sort of at the same time, one for the biennium and one a longer term, and that has the gas tax increase in it. So how are things going with work on the transportation budget?
Well, it's very interesting, especially with this remote session. The way I kind of look at it is we have three budgets every 2 years, the operating, the transportation, and the capital budget. The transportation budget goes forward every 2 years no matter what. It funds the State Patrol, Department of Licensing, the DOT staff, maintenance and preservation, but it also funds previously approved projects that were part of some other large-scale transportation package. So I prefer kind of look at it as not two budgets, but really a budget, a biennial budget, and then a transportation revenue package that has a multitude of revenue increases, gas tax, carbon fees, weight fees, license fees, but then also a corresponding list of new projects and things that will be funded. And of course, everybody wants the new projects, but so many of the constituents and the legislators don't want to vote for gas tax increases or some of these other things. But the reality, and I'm just kind of keeping it real for people, but I've never voted for a transportation gas tax package, but if we want new projects in North Central Washington area, you know, in the multi-hundreds of millions of dollars of these projects, we need to have a revenue source that can pay for those. We can't just kind of wave a magic wand and create the revenue to do that. I also want to drive the cost down of transportation projects, streamline environmental permitting, do some more things that drive down the cost of the projects. But some of these projects, for example, like Confluence Parkway, which in my opinion is one of the most important projects in our region, which is the second bridge across the Wenatchee River and the additional roadway, that would be really important to our area. That's a $130 million project, however, and the project increases every year, so in price. So if we don't do something this year and people don't support it, that's fine. Maybe this year isn't the year, but likely the costs are not going to go down. The costs are going to increase, and we're going to need to figure out a way in our state to pay for those if we want them. So everybody wants a high-functioning transportation system, and so do I. That's really important to help us get our crops to market and all these other things. But we do need to pay for those, and we need to maintain what we have. So these, you know, aren't easy conversations, but they're important ones to have.
Have you gotten pushback on our project or any of the North Central Washington projects? They're saying, well, no, we've got build a new bridge over the Columbia River in Vancouver, and we need to replace, I mean, they're trying to replace the ferry system and like all this other stuff. And it seems a little bit like they want to focus sort of in some areas on that side of the state, and maybe this area gets a little bit neglected.
Well, and that's what our legislative team is trying to avoid. You know, Representative Gaynor serves on the House Transportation Committee. I serve on the Senate Transportation Committee. We're actually in a good position to make sure our district is getting sort of its fair share. The way I look at these transportation investments is we're going to pay, right? But I try to look at it as a cost versus benefit scenario. And what are we paying in increased gas taxes and fees, and what are we getting? The Chelan-Douglas Transportation Council has a collection of five transportation priorities, and they total of approximately $225 million. And I'm working to try to get that included in the package. But also, if you remember, Kevin, we have this large federal infra grant, transportation grant that we're applying for at the federal level. And if that comes through, then I kind of have created a list of backup projects so that if we get the funding for some of these other things in the federal grant, then we're also positioned to still get our fair share at the state process if this bill moves forward. So it's a real interesting process. We do have a lot of transportation needs in our area, but I don't know it's necessarily something that people really notice or really appreciate in our area because we don't necessarily have the gridlock. Although I will say in the North Wenatchee Avenue area, people are starting to experience that at certain times of the day, especially in the later afternoon. That's why I think Confluence Parkway, that second bridge across Wenatchee would be great. That's why I think some other improvements in North Wenatchee Avenue and all across our district we have needs. So I'm trying to get more information out about the transportation projects in our area and try to collect some feedback over the next few days just in case we have to vote on something like this.
Brad, thank you so much. Always appreciate it. We'll look forward to talking to you again next Thursday.
Likewise, Kevin. Thanks so much.